Everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarin. I'm joined by the angry one, Rich Stamboli.
Oh, the opposite. I'm like the cool dude today.
You're the angry one. Like, you're so angry today.
So mellow.
Oh, you have no idea what I'm dealing with.
I know what you're dealing with. They don't know what you're dealing with. So everybody in the chat room, I think everybody in the chat room told their friends, come and watch this guy have a meltdown.
Oh, yeah.
Sending his emails.
The things that I said to this guy right now, he's refusing to give me the full information of the guy I'm looking for. And he wrote, Andrew, for your sake and mine, I'm afraid what you're gonna say and do, I'm not giving you his information.
All right.
So now I'm just gonna attack him.
So this is the random guy.
This is my day. This is how my day has begun. Just want to let everybody know, I'm in a mood today.
You know what you should do?
I'm in a mood for a melody.
You know what you should do? You should Instagram live your interactions for the rest of the day. Like those weirdos in their cars that talk about how to live your life properly.
Hey guys, listen.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you to pick up the trash, but you know, you're trash in your life. You got to pick it up and dump it in the dumpster. Is that good? Is that motivational?
It's day one, 3 hours in, trying to get in touch with the glass guy. I got a hot lead from an ex. This guy's going to pay.
Oh God! I'll save this for an After Dark episode,
sure,
or a watch along.
The full story.
But we're gonna talk about professional wrestling today.
Yes,
a lot of wrestling this week. G1 has started.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch it?
I watched the first day A block and a little bit of B block from the second day. I'm digging it, man. Crowds. Everybody seems like they're wearing a face mask and everything's in control. I'm happy that they're back.
Yeah, I like it.
Great matchups too. Like really good matchups.
Yeah, I watched A block and the first two nights,
Bleak.
A and B.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not watched Wednesday night's show.
Okay.
So I'm behind. Obviously, we're recording this on Thursday and I haven't had any time to watch it, but I had to watch NXT and AEW and I just couldn't fit it in my schedule. There's so much to talk about. Obviously, Animal passed away from Legion of Doom, from the Road Warriors. 60 years old. Joseph Laurinaitis passed away. I don't know why or how or what happened.
They said natural causes yesterday.
I mean, 60 years old, natural causes, not really natural.
He did play football.
He did.
And he did.
He was a big jacked up dude.
Big dude.
Yeah.
And he bumped a lot. Yeah. So,
but I got to tell you one thing about this guy. So Dave did a great retrospective on him on the show today on Wrestling Observer Radio. And he'll probably have a tremendous piece on him in the Observer, which I'm looking forward to reading. But there's a lot to say about him and a lot to the Road Warrior story. I don't know. Do you want to go into it now or you want to go into it after?
Let's do it. Let's talk about the Road Warriors.
Yeah. One of the most recognizable professional wrestling acts of all time.
100%.
The first time I ever saw anything relating to the Road Warriors, I was in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
I was probably 4 years old. We were driving down to visit one of my father's friends in Virginia, and we stopped at a gas station. I can't remember if it was actually Virginia or Maryland, whatever. And this has to be 19. When did they went to WWE in 1990, right? Yes.
Was it 89-90?
It has to be 89-90 because Hogan Warrior, Flair was not in WWE.
Right.
And on that cover, there was it was like a what if Ric Flair and Hogan went up against each other? And I would love to know what wrestling magazine this is. So I'm sure somebody's going to sleuth and find it.
Yeah.
And on the cover, there was like all this stuff. But inside it, there was a black and white photo of the Road Warriors in their like S&M gear. Not like the
black gear.
The black gear.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were just a bloody mess.
Okay.
Like, they were just bloody. And I was like, who are these guys?
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh la la. That's what I said at 4 years old. I looked at it and I go, Dad, ooh la la, who are these boys? and I was like, holy crap, they're gigantic.
Mm-hmm.
They're cartoons. They got weird gear and leather and metal. And I was like, my God, these guys are cool. And that was like my first introduction to the Road Warriors. And then obviously you saw them in WWE with the you know, the traditional Road Warrior outfit.
Mm-hmm.
But my God, what a hot act.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, I missed a lot of their early stuff because I was too young.
We didn't get it also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We saw some Crockett stuff.
We weren't tape trading when we were kids.
We were not.
Yeah.
But however, I should have known. I did know that guy Bret Hart, he'd be somebody.
Oh boy.
In 1991. I knew it. I called it. I looked at my father and I looked at the man next to him. I said, "Hey guys, hey fellas, you see that guy in the ring right there? That's the future."
You were like, "Papa, my own this guy. Pink and black attack, huh?"
But what? Give me. Can you imagine? I become all of a sudden very ethnically Italian.
Mm-hmm.
Give me your. What is the first moment that you had seen the Road Warriors?
I think the first moment I got was like completely hooked. SummerSlam '92.
Oh, in Wembley?
On the motorcycle?
Oh, just when they left.
Yeah. Like,
you mean to tell me the match where Hawk was really messed
yes,
up?
Yes, and okay. Then went backwards. Because like I didn't have cable growing up, so my way to view wrestling was like late at night, maybe some tapes at the video store, and like whatever they replayed it on Superstars.
I had an older cousin that would get like all the wrestling magazines. And I remember, like, later on just going through a lot, because he was, like, 4 or 5 years older than me.
Yeah.
So, like, he was of age to kind of, you know, be ahead of me. So, if I was 4 in 89, he was 9. So, okay. he was, like, in that peak. And then I had other older cousins that knew, and they were really into wrestling. So, like, I remember.
Okay.
It was just, it was interesting to see that, because, obviously, think about our childhood, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Road Warriors, Hulk Hogan, Macho Man.
Ultimate Warrior.
Giant cartoons of human beings.
So good.
And you look and you're like, my God, these guys are bigger than life.
They, you know what? Comparatively, they still are.
They still are, yeah.
Giant dudes.
But now, you know, you look at like a Seth Rollins and I'm like, I'm his size.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about that size.
Yeah, you look exactly like him.
Just like him.
Mirror image.
You're
my so
body,
shredded.
Same body, same everything. No, I'm saying like, you look at the height, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's obtainable. I could obtain the Seth Rollins figure.
I want to see you get really shredded.
You want to see that?
I did,
a couple years ago.
Yeah, I want to see you get like very like Seth Rollins.
I'll
shredded.
Do it, man. I'll do it. You want to see it? I'll
you know
do
what?
It. Don't threaten me.
I'm not going to threaten you, but listen, gimmicks are okay in my fantasy world. So if you want to get like real roided out, please go for it.
Yeah.
You should get really roided out and then like just work out hard for a month.
Hardcore,
and then go after that glass guy.
Okay, let's do that.
Nobody
knows what we're talking about right now.
I don't want any part of this.
You're coming too.
Oh my God.
No, you made the plan.
I didn't make
you're
the plan.
Liable
that's
now.
Fine. No, that's on you. You guys heard that
allegedly.
So Road Warriors, you know, like I'd agree with you, like I didn't have the older person who got me into wrestling. I just found it on my own. But when I was in high school,
how did you
like,
find it?
The
just
older.
Flipping?
Yeah, just flipping, dude.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Flipping cartoons, like seeing this dude.
What do you mean flipping, brother?
But when I got into high school age, you know, you start getting like the All Japan tapes, the Japanese tapes, and they're like to this day, their debut promo video package for Japan is one of the best things ever. Where they
1985, 1986, 1985, they went to Japan.
They just appear out of smoke, and they're not even ring ready. They're just dressed like dudes.
So do you know how they got found?
Man.
How they discovered them in Japan? So there was a show Dave spoke about. Actually, you don't have to be a Dave Meltzer fan to appreciate this, but he's a great historian with this stuff. He went into it the other day and he was talking about how, you know, they didn't go to Japan till like 85, 86. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is that they were just not an act in Japan. They just never went in that circle. But there was apparently a show in Japan that would get all the top shows from the territories.
Okay.
And it would compile it. And it would be like a compilation of all the big stadium shows that the territories would do. And whenever the Road Warriors would be on, they would go nuts.
Yeah.
So Baba saw these guys. And he's like,
Giant
whoa,
Baba.
Giant Baba. Mm-hmm. Not my father.
Does he call you dad?
Bob. Mm-hmm. I call him Bob.
All right.
What
do you call Bob? Dad?
Daddy. So they saw him. They're like, we got to get these guys. Mm-hmm. They gave them a $10,000 a week salary in Japan.
Hell yeah.
And Brody got really pissed because he was the top guy in old
he's
Japan.
The monster.
And he was getting that.
Yeah.
So they just brought these new guys in. They were tremendous in Japan, man. Big, giant, jacked up dudes. Real bad, badass guys.
Like legit badass.
Legit badasses. But something that's a little bit, you know, different about between Hawk and Animal. You know, Hawk was a partier. Hawk was a crazy one.
Yeah, yeah.
Animal would go home on his days off. He wanted to be with his kids. Mm-hmm. His son, he was a big part of his son's sport life. His daughter, too, big part of, she's an athlete as well. You know, the stories, it comes out that he was a good guy. He was just, he wanted to see his family. He saved his money. He was a stable human being.
Yeah.
When, you know, in that environment.
Which is kind of rare in that environment.
Very rare in that 1980s environment.
Let me ask you something. If you give me, I'll give you three decades.
Yeah.
80s, 90s, and now, right? How do you think you'd fare with the lifestyle in each decade?
I think about that. If I was in the 80s, I think I would do the best. I would do very well in the 80s.
Okay.
70s,
like,
I don't think.
Like
I
would, lifestyle-wise.
Lifestyle-wise, I would do great in the 80s.
Okay.
It's right in my alley.
Like, you'd be okay.
I like rock music. Mm-hmm. I have no sleeves. I drive a muscle car.
Yeah.
I could do well in the 80s.
Like, if you were a wrestler.
I could be a strip club manager.
If you were a wrestler.
Oh, I would die.
Right.
I'd be dead in the 80s. Yeah.
80s, I think I'd be okay. 90s, I feel like I would definitely OD.
You what, with somas?
Yeah, something. That shit would get, like, it would, like,
just a very toxic environment.
I immediately understand why Road Dogg and Billy Gunn did as much drugs as they did. And
listen, dude, you know, 20s, you're in your 20s.
Yeah.
You're on the road by yourself. You have nobody, you have no responsibility other than yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, you're on the road 200 and something. Mm-hmm. I think people forget, like, yeah, you got to look at the dates that people do, but mm-hmm. you're also on the road to get to those dates. So it's not like, well, you only work 3 days that week. No, you worked like 4 days that week, and you have a day to travel.
Right.
So you actually have one day off every week.
Right.
It's tiring.
It's grueling, man. You don't want to be... You're sitting in a car. You're at the arena. You're at a hotel. It's very grueling on your body. Now, I think it's a lot... Especially now during like the COVID era of wrestling, it's a little easier because dudes can show up like once or twice a week. There's no live shows.
Yeah.
There's no house shows. Well, there's live shows, but there's no house shows.
No house shows.
Right?
Yeah.
So these guys could rest up, heal up. Hopefully it doesn't lead to like bad lifestyle choices, you know?
No, I think these guys are a lot smarter. Also, you know, it's a whole different world. It really is. And I think we're more, I hate the excuse when they use it for concussions. So like, we just didn't know better, right? Like that's the excuse that somehow become a thing in wrestling where, you know, Jim Ross says it too. And everybody says it. And I find it to be such a ridiculous excuse. Like, you didn't know hitting somebody in the head as hard as you can is going to cause some sort of head trauma. You didn't think that there would be long-term effects to getting, you know, your bell rung every night. That's a cop-out excuse. I think it's nonsense. I think we're just more self-aware more than anything else.
I'm gonna take a slightly skewed stance on that.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's the evolution of sports in general. Where if you talk to a guy, let's say like in the 40s, and they used to play football in like leather, like flappy leather helmets, you know?
Yeah.
Like that's kind of the evolution of like, oh, we should really put these guys in helmets, like actual helmets.
Yeah.
You know? Big difference.
But why do they wear leather helmets?
Right. You know?
Like what the hell is that going to do?
But I think going from that ECW style that everybody wanted to emulate to what happened afterwards, you know, like now I think we're in kind of like not so much a renaissance, but we're in a very more medically safe
era
of pro wrestling.
And there's more, and you got to also remember, like, for all the bad that the internet is, there's a lot of attention that's brought to moments like this,
right?
So guys are less likely to do something, and also you respect your body. I think we as people, as athletes, these guys respect their bodies a little bit more.
Absolutely.
Right? The longevity of your career is no longer, I need to do whatever I can and make as much money now, but because there's a future after wrestling. These guys didn't think about a future after wrestling. They just wanted to hoard all their money and then be done by 40 and then be finished. You know, 45 years old, these guys were old men.
Right.
You know, you look at the Crusher and the Bruiser, right?
Yeah.
They were old men at like 35.
But that's also like I think your old timers, like Flair's a good example of you just don't know what else to do, right?
Flair's fascinating because you got to look at Flair, right? Flair is a very bizarre in between.
Okay.
In an era that really there's nobody like Flair that existed. Like who would exist that would be like a Flair? Mm-hmm. He was a workhorse. He was flamboyant, like a modern day character. Mm-hmm. He didn't do a lot of glitz and glam. He wrestled very old school.
His ground-based style.
Very ground-based style. But
never really got hurt.
Rarely.
Yeah.
Rarely that guy got hurt. Because what would he do to get hurt?
Right.
It's a lot of headlocks and a lot of bumps he would take. He would take shoulder tackles and backdrops. And that, those were the high spots.
Yeah.
He would go on the top rope every night and never hit it.
Right. Right.
One time he went up there. He didn't know what to do.
And all his, like, his deal was just alcohol.
Just pretty much. Yeah, pretty much.
Getting
listen, man,
blitzed.
We should do an episode on this because I've had some very interesting conversations with a couple people on that ECW locker room side.
Oh yeah.
And it's not my story to tell.
Right.
Because
I
don't want to name names and out people, but I mean from just very credible stories. I'd love for these people to be able to talk about it. But you don't have to name it because it was...
Absolutely.
Like, when you hear stories about... You go into a locker room and three people have a needle in their arm. Mm. They're shooting up Nubane and they've shot up so much that they have now passed down the needle still in their arm.
Right, yeah.
And you just walk by. Can you imagine that happening today in a WWE locker room?
Oh, forget it.
Where I'm going to name, and this is very bad. I'm not accusing these people, but let's just name a name, right?
Okay.
Braun Strowman.
Okay.
And Bray Wyatt.
You're not saying they're doing this.
No, not at all.
Right.
Absolutely not. Just, I want you to think about, like, top names, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's envision this. Because I want you to see how ridiculous this is. Mm-hmm. They're strung out with a needle in their arm.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know if they're dead or alive.
Right.
They're passed out. And Daniel Bryan walks by, looks at them, and goes, oh, okay. And goes on with his business. Goes through Gorilla.
I'm not defending anybody here. But, you know, like, we'll never know unless we were there kind of thing. You know? Like, because that also, like, a reaction like that has to, that's a festering reaction of, well, we're here now. You know what?
Yeah.
I could care less about this shit going on in front of me.
Scary. You know? It's really scary.
Terrifying.
I'd love to do a whole episode on that.
The terrifying realities of wrestling in the late 90s.
Listen, great example. Rick Rude.
Okay.
I've gone down a Rick Rude kick recently. That was my father's favorite wrestler. I don't know if I ever told you this.
All upper body.
My dad loved him. Because my dad goes, he always said, my body was just like Rick Rude's. Mm-hmm. My dad was jacked.
Mm-hmm.
But he was more slim instead of like a Hogan, obviously.
Right.
But
I'm sure your dad's not 6'6".
He's not 6'6". No, my father's 5'9". But my father always liked Rick Rude. And I just went down this rabbit hole just watching his matches. This guy was so good. So good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his WCW International title run was whatever it was. But it was very interesting. And just looking at it, he died at 38, 39 years old and died of a drug overdose.
Was it an overdose? I thought it was a heart attack because of previous issues.
No, he was shooting himself up with Nubane.
Was he?
I
want to say heart attack. I want to say not natural causes, but I want to say heart attack at 38, and I want to say he was clean.
No, I don't know. We'll find out.
Suffered from heart failure. Okay. Suffered from heart failure. Autopsy showed he died from an overdose of mixed medication.
Nubane, yeah.
Okay.
Yep, terrible.
40 years old.
40 years old.
What
terrible.
A shame.
And he was coming, he was doing the last one. So, I know we went on a tangent here.
RIP Animal.
Yeah.
So,
let's talk about Raw. Let's talk about...
The elephant in the closet?
The elephant in the closet.
Before we get to the elephant in the closet.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the other elephant in the closet? Why?
Oh, I thought the one that you
meant. Why change? I know why they changed this dude's name from Babatunde to Davakoto.
Okay.
Because Vince wants to own
Davakoto. Yeah.
But why do they change it from Davakoto to Davakato?
Davakato.
Now he's Davakato.
Because somebody mispronounced, enough people mispronounced it in the back that Vince said that's his name now.
You think so?
Yeah.
So not only do you have that, this guy with the name change. You want this guy to be a monster, and then he loses to Braun Strowman? And this dude is bigger than Braun Strowman.
This dude, there's going to be more to this, for sure. I just don't know what they're doing with that. I find the whole thing weird, right? Like, they were building this guy, they bring Braun up, Braun kills him, and that's it. Right? That was it. How long was that? 2 minutes?
Yeah, yeah.
They did? They were both sucking wind. It's always been Davakato. Kodo?
I could have sworn it was always Davakoto, unless Shane was mispronouncing it on Monday Night Raw.
Oh, maybe. Possible.
How do you still, like, before we get to the retribution stuff, are you still okay with Raw Underground?
I'm still fine with it. Mm-hmm. But I got to tell you, like, I watch Raw very differently now. It's almost like it's too long.
Mm-hmm.
So my attention goes in and out. And I have to rewatch it the following day in order to know what the hell happened.
Yeah.
And that's not good. No. Let me just tell you that. Like, that's not a normal way of watching. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's me. I don't think it's that I'm preoccupied. It just, the show's not grabbing my attention.
Okay.
At all.
Mm-hmm.
SmackDown does a better job of grabbing my attention.
2 hours.
NXT does a great job. AEW does a great job of grabbing my attention. I just cannot commit to Raw because it's just a whole lot of nothing. I just feel like every show has about one positive thing in it, and then it's just a whole lot of nothing.
All right, so let's try not to dump on Raw.
I'm not gonna.
I feel like everybody dumps on.
Yeah,
like,
I'm not looking to dump on them, but we'll go right into Retribution.
Yeah,
they made this group look. I have no words. Okay. I really don't because I'll tell you. I was very gung-ho on this. I thought this was a cool act. I liked these surprise attack things. They were attacking both brands, so you know you didn't know where they would show up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they didn't do it in NXT,
no.
Which is bizarre, right? Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Because they're all from NXT. They didn't do it in NXT. There are all these theories on who it's going to be. Obviously, everybody, the internet was riling with the conspiracy theories. CM Punk, all these people. We knew it wasn't going to be CM Punk. It's now become, the second they took the chainsaws out and they started cutting the ring and they were celebrating, jumping like this, I was
you
like,
you mentioned that every week.
Yuck. I knew there was no guidance.
Dead in the water.
They were dead in the water and there was no gut pot. There was the that would never happen if it was instructed properly on a pre-recorded show. Think about that. Right? Nobody watched that and said, that looks ridiculous.
Yeah. You know, maybe this thing is slipping under the radar in a weird way. And again, like, there's, if you want to watch a podcast, take a dump on Raw, there's plenty out there. But this is a very specific point that I think we should definitely talk about.
Yeah.
And it's number one. I made this point on Twitter the other night. WWE is so far behind the pop culture bandwagon that it's not even funny. Especially with something like, I like what Dijakovic's doing, you know, with his promos and, you know, he's like kind of like the de facto mouthpiece. He's doing a good job, right? He let them put him in that dopey mask with the makeup and the bald head. And you know what? Good for him. He's cutting those promos. He's making a name for himself. But Dark Knight Rises came out like, what, 8 years ago?
Dark Knight Rises came out, yeah,
and to introduce like a Bane-esque character.
It just says so much.
It's like, listen, man, this shit would have been cool a few years ago, you know? Plus, we already got the shield. I think the masks are dumb as fuck, to be honest with you. I don't think, if they're going to come out like that, I think their outfits need to be a million times better. This is the problem I had with the Dark Order. When the Dark Order first showed up, they looked like lumpy potato sacks.
When the Dark Order showed up?
Because they didn't have that good gear. Right?
Yeah.
And they start making a couple of bucks, and then you get that good gear, you know? Now, Dark Order, their gear is getting better and better and better, right? Great act. Retribution, they have terrible gear. Their mask is like dog shit. Again, Dijakovic's probably the only saving grace of it so far. And you have, who's the other dude who got beat up by Brock Lesnar? I always forget his name.
Who got beat up by Brock Lesnar?
The big dude with the dreads.
The announcer.
Yeah.
God, I cannot. His name keeps slipping.
Okay, guys, I totally forgot his name. He has a good name too. And you got Mia Yim, and who else is in there?
Mercedes Martinez, Mia Yim,
Dio
Madden, and Dominic.
And then Dominic Dijakovic. I thought you meant Dominic Mysterio. I don't know. It just leaves a bad taste in your mouth because they come off a little hokey. Especially when they announced that they signed contracts with Raw. Like, if you're the boss, if let's say at your job, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you a story.
Yeah.
Let's say at your job, you run a gentleman's club.
Okay.
Right? Let's say at your job, a stripper from off the street comes in.
Okay.
And she's chloroforming one girl a night.
Yeah.
And then she's taking her place on dancing.
On dancing.
She's
okay.
making all the money and then she leaves.
Okay.
Next week she does the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You start to catch on.
Yeah.
And then she cuts a promo on you saying, like, I'm the best stripper. I'm going to get what I deserve.
Okay.
Is your reaction to give them a contract, or is your reaction going to be like, yo, don't come back here anymore?
Well, she's a go-getter.
Okay.
I'm going to give her a contract. Yeah.
It's so bizarre it makes no sense that they're like, Retribution is signed with Raw.
Okay, so do we not know? Mm-hmm. Are we supposed to not know that Mia Yim is Keith Lee's girlfriend?
Right.
Right, like, we know this, right? Does this not exist in the universe? Because in NXT it did, right? We knew this in NXT. And they attacked Keith Lee last week.
Right.
So why?
Well, it's like the Zelina Vega Aleister Black thing, right? Like, Zelina, her guys were attacking Aleister Black for months, but everybody knows they're married.
But they've never done anything together on screen.
Right.
This on screen, mm-hmm. they have told you that Keith Lee and her are together.
Do you think it's a creative misstep that they're underestimating the fans and social media and the real power of social media, where, like, everybody knows every single thing now?
So I have no problem with, like, if WWE decided to go in a direction with, let's say, a married couple, and they don't address that they're together, right? But with Mia and Keith Lee, they told us this, like, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, that they made it very clear that she is with him.
Right.
And they also made, like, this huge story about, like, her upbringing. Like, they made you sympathize with her tremendously.
Put a big spotlight on
her. Yeah, and now it's like, now she has a mask and she's part of a gang.
Right.
You know?
I really want to like them.
Okay, the masks are ridiculous.
They look like shit.
They look like shit. The Jason mask one, who's that, Shane Thorne?
I think it should be Bobby Roode. It should be, he should change his name to the Forgotten One, Bobby Roode.
Oh, I got a story, by the way.
About Bobby Roode?
Yeah.
Really? Can you tell it
we
on
We may
air?
See something soon.
Yeah? Get out of here. That's legit?
Yep.
Cool. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. WWE trademark face and knuckles yesterday.
Oh, so Knuckles the Echidna from Sonic the Hedgehog and Face from the A-Team.
Oh, my God. So let's talk about their names.
T-Bar.
Slapjack. Mace. Mace Windu. Terrible. Isn't Mace Windu from
Star Wars?
Star Wars?
The franchise you hate.
The franchise I hate.
Can't believe you hate Star Wars. Why am I friends with you?
I tell you, I like The Mandalorian. I like The Mandalorian.
Mandalorian's awesome.
Why? Where did they come? You think it's a Bruce Pritchard name?
I think Vince, they were like, just give us a bunch of names, and Vince went, ha ha, Slapjack, Mace, T-Bar, Knuckles, Face, let's on to the next meeting. What do you want for lunch? Steak, no tomatoes, diet soda, next. You know, like, I feel like it's terrible. Dave
T-Boz.
Said, T-Boz and D's Nuts.
T-Boz and D's Nuts, perfect.
One of them should be called D's Nuts.
That's John Cena's thing.
D's Nuts.
Yeah, that was his thing. I don't know, man. I don't know if you could salvage this. I'm still being told that their leader has not been unveiled.
Mm-hmm.
There's a leader to them. Okay, let's say it's Tommaso Ciampa. Let's say it's Ciampa.
He's been coming out with that cool-ass mask.
That cool-ass mask. But let's say it's Ciampa.
I don't know, man.
Bachelor 3000, $299. The Miz under the Jason mask? He was in the promo.
You know what? That could have been Shane Thorne, though, because they both have nice blue eyes.
I think it is Shane Thorne.
I don't think The Miz would do anything like this. Like, Miz, at this point, probably has enough clout to just be like, no.
Dude, they could have done
Mojo.
You know, but here's the thing, right? We could speculate, and obviously we have so much to talk about. We could speculate, like, how they should have done it. But I really, like, looking back, like, just looking at how WWE does it, there's no possible positive outcome to this. Like, I don't think they were... I hate to say this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're capable of delivering a story like this. They're just not capable of it because they do not know how to commit to depth in storytelling.
They don't want to commit to depth in storytelling.
We, as the viewers, have created all the depth for all the positive storytelling, right?
Right.
Like, CM Punk's, give me, like, I'm talking about, like, what's a deep storyline that they did, right, that resonated? What's the last very deep storyline that WWE did that, or give me, okay, here's the thing. What is the last storyline that WWE did that resonated with the viewers without us adding stuff to it?
I'll give you two examples.
Yeah.
Because only one of them, only because you mentioned CM Punk. The CM Punk Paul Bearer angle with Undertaker.
Okay. The CM Punk Paul Bearer angle with the Undertaker leading to WrestleMania.
Right.
That was CM Punk delivering all the things that he wanted to say about the WWE to the Undertaker.
Right.
Right. How long did that last?
Until WrestleMania.
Until WrestleMania.
So 3-4 months.
Okay. It wasn't a creation, right? The Yes Movement, that's another one. Yes versus Authority. Brian versus Authority.
Great.
That was not created by the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
That was created by the viewers forcing this to happen.
Right.
There was no plan put in place for Daniel Bryan to be this tremendous, victorious underdog until they realized, oh, crap, we have to do this.
He was over. Because
Randy, who was winning that title match? Was it Batista or Randy Orton?
I think it was Batista.
Batista was going to win the titles? I don't remember.
Mark Henry's retirement.
Mark Henry's retirement. Okay. I just lost internet. Why did I lose internet? I don't think any of you are seeing this happen. I just lost Wi-Fi.
Don't
Mark Henry's retirement. But again, that was a quick one shot.
Kofi Mania.
Kofi Mania? You think who believes that that was handled well?
True. The end of it wasn't handled very well.
WWE cannot create. You know who they did great with? Becky Lynch. Becky was done well. But again, it was an accident. Let's remember this. Becky Lynch was an accident once again. She got punched in the face. She was a bloody mess. Mm-hmm. It told a great story. We, as the viewers, fell in love with her, covered in blood, and it became that. The WWE is incapable of creating a long-term program that they can consistently tell a story.
They don't want to, though.
They can't, because they can't.
I don't think they can't. I don't think. I think they don't want to. I think that's their idea of what pro wrestling is. Is so much different than a traditional mindset of pro wrestling. AEW and NXT, very good traditional pro wrestling shows, right? I think Raw and SmackDown, it's their weird homogenized idea of selling merch, selling tickets, selling like pay-per-views and all that stuff, getting these guys on social media, getting these guys to be the faces of the company.
Yeah.
Without like, do you think a 10-year-old kid gives a shit about an amazing storyline?
No, they don't. They just want to see the guys go out there and beat people up.
Right. Like let's say if you're a 10-year-old and you're a Roman Reigns fan, you want him to be a babyface at this point.
If I'm 10,
he's a bad guy.
Yeah, now I'm going to be pissed. Well, I can tell you, my friend's kids, they hate that Roman is a bad guy now.
Okay.
Or he's conceived he's perceived as a bad guy. He's conceived.
They're very upset.
The conception of Roman Reigns. So one of the writers over there that's no longer there told me something very interesting once about 2 years ago. He said the way WWE writes stories, imagine it's SNL, right? You have your existing characters. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're not on every week, but when they are, you remember what they did the last time they were on.
Sure.
That's how WWE writes TV. It's SNL skits every week.
Okay.
And sometimes they have to do with the previous week and other times they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought a great example. What was a character that, the guy that used to do George Bush on SNL?
Which one?
Dana
Carvey?
Dana Carvey, right? Is that Dana Carvey?
Yeah.
He did George Bush, and then he would do the church lady?
Yeah.
Okay. So he brought him up, and he said, imagine that character, right?
Mm-hmm.
That character has its catchphrases. Mm-hmm. It has the same set. You recognize it's identifiable. Mm-hmm. But every week, there's no concurrentness between week 1 and week 7.
Right.
Except every now and then they'll throw something in there to remind you of a previous episode.
Okay.
That's how WWE writes their TV now. Yeah. It's inconsistent SNL skits.
Well, I think they're writing towards the unfocused ADD style audience that is that demographic that they're going for.
And I get it. Listen, I get it. I get it because people don't remember what happened 6 weeks ago, but You just told us that this group is a menacing group.
Mm-hmm.
They're wreaking havoc on this company. You've lost control. there's sometimes six of them, sometimes there's 20 of them.
Right, right.
They're all over the place. You take their masks off. Listen, you have to take their mask off. Mm. I get it. Now you got them wearing these bizarro things.
Mm.
They're Dominic Dijakovic is Bane.
Right.
That's the only thing people could see. And you're telling us these guys are still cool.
Mm-hmm.
They're still scary.
They're not, though.
They're not. It's over.
They look like shit.
They look like, yeah, they look like, I mean, that's the reality. And I don't want to say that, and I hate to say that, but that's the reality.
That shit looks like basura.
By the way, I'm not, and me saying this about WWE, and AEW has a tremendous amount of problems also with these stories. I got to tell you, I have some issues with them also.
Can we go into
but
that?
But not
in
as
a
much.
Yeah.
Well, but nothing to this level, because they grab, it's just constant disappointment.
Okay.
You're left disappointed. And I don't think it's fully their fault, but when you created this, this team was created for COVID, during the COVID era, right?
They were created by COVID.
Maybe it was. And now they wreak havoc on Raw. Now they're under contract. So now what are you going to do? You're going to have Dominic Dijakovic as T-Boz?
T-Bar.
And Left Eye?
Yeah.
Who is it? T-Boz, Left Eye, and what's the other one? From TLC?
I don't know what you're talking about.
TLC. Don't go chasing waterfall.
So
Chili.
Can I play armchair booker for like 2 seconds? I feel like, you know what would have been, and please bear with me on this quick ride. You know what I felt would have been a lot cooler with these dudes?
What?
If you have them come out knowing that their gear isn't ready, have them come out in different WWE masks every week. So
somebody else's.
Dijakovic's wearing a Kane mask. Mia Yim's wearing a Rey Mysterio mask.
Oh, no, these masks were ready.
No. I'm saying, like, because these masks look like shit. Somebody's wearing a Mankind mask. Somebody's wearing, like, fake Undertaker mask, right? And every week you rotate them, and then all of a sudden there's that one week. They got dope gear. They got really insane-looking masks, and that's how you go about it.
Just got a message.
I do like Dio Madden's mask, though.
What's Dio's?
It's like his eyes are exposed. They all look like they... You know what they look like? They all look like they're trying out for the hockey team, but they got what they could find at home and didn't go to Modell's to get like a regular mask.
Yeah, they made it.
You know,
I'm just looking at them. Listen, Knuckles. You know, I gotta tell you, if Dominic Dijakovic came out on his own with this mask on, I would love it.
Yes, 100%.
Big dude, scary. You have a new gimmick on him.
He's yelling.
How the hell is he gonna sell any punches in that freaking mask?
Feast your eyes.
I guess Dio's is not bad either. Just a fucking hockey mask one. Shane Thorne's hockey mask. He looks ridiculous.
But you know what's going to happen, right?
What?
This is a vehicle to get Keith Lee super over, because he had so many great fights with Dijakovic.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
But why did they change his name to that? They couldn't come up with it. Mace.
T-Bar.
What does that mean? What does T-Bar mean?
I don't know, man.
Oh, apparently, according to Dave, Shane Thorne is a stand-in for now.
The forgotten one, Bobby Roode, I'm telling you.
Let's see. I don't know.
Bobby Roode.
So that was, I'm very surprised by this. Mm-hmm. We have a pay-per-view this Sunday.
We do.
Surprise. Clash of Champions 2020. Taking place at the Thunderdome, if you want to go through this card. Very interesting card. I'm looking forward to some of these matches where a lot of people are not, and I'll tell you which ones. So we got 9 matches, 1 pre-show match. We'll do our preview to this now.
Okay.
Watch along, are we doing one?
Yeah, I might do it remote.
Okay.
I might pop in and out. I gotta see what's going on this weekend.
Asuka versus Zelina Vega will be on the pre-show for the WWE Raw Women's Championship. Obviously, Asuka's going to take this. Bobby Lashley versus Apollo Crews for the United States Championship.
Looking forward to that.
Street Profits versus Andrade and Angel Garza.
Great.
For the tag titles, Raw tag titles.
How great are the Street Profits, by the way?
I like them a lot.
Yeah.
I do like them a lot. I like the
big dudes.
Great act.
Their intro makes it.
But they are a live crowd act. Think about how the kids will love them. They're so kid friendly. Now we got Jeff Daddy versus AJ Styles and Sami Zayn in a triple threat ladder match. This is going to be a stealer of a show.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Stealer of a match. So. This match I'm looking very much forward to. Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura versus Lucha House Party.
Cool.
Which weird that they're getting a tag team title shot.
Good
SmackDown.
For them, man. Somebody realized that they were still there.
I guess so. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler versus the Riot Squad.
Awesome.
For the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship. Bayley versus Nikki Cross.
Great.
I'm sure Alexa's going to play a part in this somehow. Mm-hmm. We'll see her get spooky again. Roman Reigns versus Jey Uso for the Universal title. Listen, I don't expect Jey to win this.
Finger touch of doom.
That's what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I think this is the beginning. Again, WWE has such an opportunity right now to do something so correctly.
The Rock, he said that shit the other day in an interview.
What is he saying?
I'd love to raise Roman's hand in the ring after he beats me at like WrestleMania.
Yeah. He has cool. to do it. Yeah, let's do it, guys.
There's no kayfabe anymore with that dude.
No, I know.
He's just like,
you see he ripped the gate that goes, you know, he has like one of those gates that opens up. It didn't open. He was late for a meeting. He tore it with his hands. He tore the gate with his hands. A metal iron gate.
I think Rock's physicality at this point is terrifying.
Oh, my God. He's no longer an age. Right?
No.
There's no identifiable age with him. He could be 75 mm-hmm. or he could be 25. You don't know.
He's just the Rock.
The Rock. He's become his own. He's become his own thing.
You ever see that movie with him and Marky Mark?
Which one? Yeah. Where they jacked up gym dudes.
Yeah. I feel like that was the turning point for him.
He got way big for that.
Super big.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Imagine if you got that jacked.
Would love to.
Do you think you're going to eat a whole pizza in one sitting?
I could. I could do that right now.
Could you really?
Yeah.
Get out of
here. I could do that right now.
Hmm.
Right now.
Kind of want to see that.
Yeah?
I think on one of our watch-alongs.
I'll do it on Sunday.
Yeah?
I could eat a whole freaking pie.
Real pizza.
How long?
Eight slices,
normal pie.
3 hours.
No, I could do it in an hour.
Really?
Yeah. Under an hour, I could do it.
Really?
Yeah, 100%.
All right.
100%.
I've only seen you eat like twice ever since I've known you.
I binge eat.
Do you really?
Yeah. I'm a big binger.
You just like go upstairs. I'm talking like a pizza, not like a Domino's pie or like a Pizza Hut pie. I'm talking
no.
like
regular,
a pizza.
Yeah, regular pizza. I could do a whole pie.
Wow.
I could do it
God
one
bless,
day.
Man.
Yeah, I could do it.
Amazing.
I feel like crap the next day, but I could do it.
But you'd have to do shit like that if you were The Rock. You'd have to like
you gotta eat that much,
carbo load sometimes because you got to watch those... There's calories and those macros, and you got a personal trainer telling you, like, hey, eat a whole pizza today.
I'm like, all right, let's do it.
I got to work out.
So Roman with Paul Heyman versus Jey Uso, and you got Drew and Randy Orton in an ambulance match.
Sorry, can we go back one second?
Yeah.
Roman Reigns also promised that he was going to wrestle shirtless.
Yes, he did. new theme, new gear, no shirt. That's the thing I'm really looking forward to. So we got... two matches for the title that I want to see, and we got the three-way ladder match, which I want to see. Not a terrible card, just very interesting considering we just had a show, and then we got a TakeOver coming up the following week.
I'm excited about that.
Which is going to be interesting. You know, we got TakeOver 31 the following week, and that's going to be...
Kyle O'Reilly, dude.
Priest. Yeah. Kyle O'Reilly in the main event, right? Finn Balor, Kyle O'Reilly. Very, very much looking forward to that. Io Shirai versus Candice, another great match I'm looking forward to. Damian Priest versus Johnny Gargano, another great show. Mm-hmm. Remember the last time we spoke about NXT and how like their takeovers were getting a little stale?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
This looks great. This looks phenomenal.
I think more stuff is going to be announced, right? I did not have my money on Candice LeRae to win that Battle Royal.
Really? Who'd you think was
winning? I think we both picked Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. And then, by the way, there's an NXT TakeOver UK in Dublin coming up October 25th.
Fun.
Yeah. So there's a lot of shows happening. There's a lot. And then obviously there's an AEW show, which we'll talk about. NXT yesterday was a decent show.
It was good. It was good.
It was fine.
The gauntlet was great.
Yes.
I honestly thought they were going to give it to Bronson Reed.
They teased it. They're big on him.
He's great, man. Big dude, good presence, very marketable, I think.
Yes. Well, the entrance is very marketable. I'm curious how that'll do on like, you know, WWE.
He's got that quasi-racial thing going on.
He does. You don't know what he is.
Yeah.
So here's some news.
Yes.
Okay.
You're just reading it to yourself?
WrestleVotes just tweeted this, and he's pretty credible. He goes, guys, it gets better. Heard that at one point the females in Retribution needed names on Monday for TV. Thankfully, got scrapped. One of the names was going to be Shatter. S-H-A-T-T-E-R. Mm-hmm. Shatter.
Yes.
Shat her. Shat herself.
Oh, boy.
This is a game, right?
This is a like punishment, a big, right?
Yeah, this is a punishment at this point. So, also, it was reported that some sources in the building said the presentation of Retribution was a major topic of discussion, met with laughter at times backstage. Direct quote, the masks and names are already making the road for these guys impossible to climb.
Yeah.
Listen, it's going to be very difficult for these guys.
How long until you see them on Raw Underground just get like completely beat up?
They're going to scrap this in a month.
You know what kind of sucks though? Like, Sanity was a faction that everybody looked forward to.
Yeah, yeah.
Sanity was
same
great,
thing, right?
Right? Like, Sanity on NXT worked so well. And then all of a sudden on the main roster, they were like, we don't know how to do this. We don't do this.
We don't know how to do this.
Because
they got to listen, they got to sell action figures and t-shirts, and they got sayings and video clips and all this stuff. They, you know, the machine.
Was Sanity too real?
Sanity was too real.
Terrible.
Yeah.
I don't get it. It's just like, I feel like, I don't know why we both have like, it like kind of sticks in your craw a little bit as to why it's so terrible. I don't want it to be terrible. I want it to be awesome. I want all wrestling to be awesome all the time. Speaking of which, how did you like that Cody return yesterday?
The Cody return. Okay, so let's talk about this. Mm-hmm. Cody came back and he looked totally different.
Final Fantasy Cody.
Was it Final Fantasy Cody?
Straight up, yeah.
He dyed his hair black. Mm-hmm. He's back to brown-haired Cody, no more blonde Cody, which I do. I like blonde Cody
same
a lot.
Here, yeah, yeah.
I'm not crazy about the dark-haired Cody. He came in a suit, and it's further expanding his feud for the TV title, which I like.
Mm-hmm.
He was gone for 5 weeks. I'm actually very surprised how long they kept that going.
Yes.
That they kept him off TV. So I guess that's going to be is that a pay-per-view match they're going to have now?
I think so.
Okay, I'm cool with this.
Yeah.
Listen, does Cody win the title back?
No.
No? I have no problem with that title going back and forth between these two.
I think he needs
great chemistry between the two of them.
Oh, 100%. I think they need, I think Cody needs that match with Moxley.
Cody and for the title, but he's not challenging for the title.
That's right. I forgot about that weird stipulation.
Yeah, he cannot. See, this is the problem when you box yourself in like that, right? I hate doing that because now it was too early to box himself in for that. But that, you know, he challenged for the title, what, once?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I'll never challenge again. Why?
Well, I mean, it's wrestling, so they could always do the thing where it's like Tony Khan says you can challenge again, but if you lose, you know, you're done.
And also, the MJF feud disappeared, which was interesting, between him and MJF.
Yeah.
He had that great match with Wardlow, that cage match, and then he had the match with MJF, and it went nowhere.
I think that was the end of the feud.
The build was way better than the actual result.
Did you like Dynamite?
I did. I did like Dynamite. Hangman with Pants, what do you think?
I'm cool with it.
Looks good.
I think it's going to be the weird Okada thing, where when he has the big match, he's going to come
in the underwear.
Yeah,
I thought that was fine. What else happened on Dynamite?
How do you like the shit that they're doing now with Kenny? Every week that he comes out and he's just commenting, he's doing like a heel commentary almost.
But it's not right. It's like passive aggressive commentary.
Yeah.
I think it's fine. I don't know where they're going with it, though.
He did make me laugh yesterday when he said Eva Luno had a grotesque physique.
Dude, Eva Luno did like a whole flip.
Guy's great, man.
They're great.
He's working very hard. I think Josh Silver is a standout.
Do you think they redeemed themselves after, remember that terrible beatdown that they did in December and everybody was laughing
absolutely
about how terrible it looked and how fake it looked?
They stuck to their guns.
Yeah.
And they're looking better. They're looking more formidable. I like that there's a lot of heel factions on Dynamite.
Yeah.
And great ending, too, man. Great ending. Who would have thought that Ricky Starks and Kingston's dudes were going to stand tall?
Yeah. Kingston looks great, man. And that was a really hard-hitting match.
Good Japanese style.
By the way,
match.
We have Funko Pops of us.
Oh, get out of here.
So look at this. So here's one. Here's me.
That's great, man.
Here's you.
I'm cool with that. I don't wear a cardigan, though.
I like these.
I'm cool with that.
I like these. Where can I get these?
Who made that?
Jonathan.
Nice.
Jonathan, where can I order these?
Give my guy a Motorhead shirt. I don't own a...
What is that?
Let me see.
It's a cat. It's a raccoon all night. Raccoon bar all night? I think that's what it says. I want a raccoon something all night. I have no idea what
can
that is.
Can you put that on the air?
I can't. I got it because it was sent over text.
Oh, okay.
I could have it ready for next time.
Whatever, man. I don't care anymore. I'm over it. Why are you so jacked?
I'm very
jacked. Why is your Funko so jacked?
I love it. I love it. Make my Funko
jacked. Giving this guy muscles.
Yeah, make me old.
My guy looks like fucking Jonah Hill. Thanks, Jonathan.
Yeah, thank you. Let's see. What else do we have here? Kyle O'Reilly main event. I'd like to push for him. Now, is he going to be a heel or a face here?
Kyle O'Reilly, I think, is going to bust away from Undisputed.
Little by little, huh?
Or Adam Cole costs him the title.
Well, you got Adam Cole, obviously, is a face. Kyle O'Reilly is a face. And it looks like Bobby Fish and Roderick are heels, right?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think that's going to be a good match. They both, it's funny because, like, sometimes you get two dudes that kind of look like the same version of a creative character. And if you take Finn Balor's head and put it on Kyle O'Reilly's body, it's not going to make a huge difference.
Let's see what else we have here in the notes.
We have notes?
I have some notes.
Mr. Murder Gonzo.
Murder Hawk has COVID.
Oh, that sucks. I hope he's okay.
A couple of people, six people were missing from tape. I think Brian Cage was missing from tapings. There was a couple other people, so I don't know what the reason for that is. Also, there was an issue at NXT with COVID where something happened during training and a whole bunch of them got COVID.
Jeez.
So I don't know who it is. I don't have the names on me.
That sucks, man. Also, who do you think is the mystery guy coming back to NXT?
I don't know. Who do you think? I have no idea. I haven't even asked.
I'm pretty set on Bobby Roode, but folks are saying Jordan Devlin.
I mean, it makes sense because he never lost his title, right? So that's an internal program,
right,
with Escobar. I don't know. It could be Jordan Devlin.
Is that cool?
Is that cool? I don't know. It does nothing for me.
I also find myself ragging on Austin Theory every week on Twitter.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know why. He just. I don't like his face.
You're not a fan of his.
No,
huh?
I like him. He's fine. I have nothing against the guy, but it's one of those, like, last week I was like, Jordan Devlin looks like the asshole personal trainer at the gym. I'm sorry, Austin Theory.
Yeah.
And yesterday I just tweeted that Austin Theory looks like he works at a cell phone store.
He does work at a cell phone store in Long Island. I thought it was fine. Wrestling was fine this week. I'm very curious to see where, you know, what the ratings are this week going forward, because I think both shows were kind of blah. They were good shows, but there was nothing big happening. The next couple of weeks, however, they're going to be big shows for AEW. Obviously, you have the anniversary show. You have the Jericho 30 years in the business show coming up.
That's cool.
I wonder, who's he facing that night? He should face somebody. He should have a big match that night.
Sabu.
Him and Sabu?
Who's available that he could have, like, an interesting, almost throwback match with?
Okay, let's play that game.
Sure.
Who could he have an awesome throwback match with that's available? Lance Storm.
Same thing, man. That popped right into my head. Dreamer.
Tommy Dreamer. Did him and Tommy have ever? No, but him and Lance, you know, we're a tag team.
Thrill Seekers.
You could do Lance. A lot of people want to see Lance in the chat room. Interesting. Lance Storm, definitely not Malenko. Malenko is not doing so great.
Kurt Angle.
Him and Angle? Okay, I would love to see that.
Yeah, same here.
He's such a top... Obviously, he's well beyond his prime, Jericho.
Absolutely.
Like, his in-ring
I don't
ability,
know about well beyond his prime, but...
No. In-ring ability. Like, if you talk about Chris Jericho's prime from, like, 97, 98, 90... Anywhere from 96 to 2006...
Really?
Right? Like, that's his prime.
You think so?
I think the definitive Chris Jericho prime match was him and HBK.
Get out of here.
I think him and HBK, that was his match.
All right.
You don't think so?
No.
What do you think was his definitive prime match?
I think the best he ever was, but I'm a big fan of that Kenny Jericho match from New Japan.
Yeah, no, listen, the match was great, but would you say he was at the top of his game physical, in the ring?
Physical peak?
I'm talking about in-ring ability.
Top of his game? Absolutely.
In the ring.
Because you got to... I'm factoring in a lot of psychology, and Jericho has close to mastered in-ring psychology.
I'm talking more in-ring attributes.
Physical ability. I would skew towards a little younger, yeah.
I would say if you ever want to see a great display of Chris Jericho's in-ring ability as an athlete, it would have to be that HBK match. Because he worked so... I just rewatched it.
They both did, yeah.
They both worked so hard in that match. And they were like the third match. They were like a shit place.
Oh man.
It was a crappy placement for the match. And it was a dream match for him. And he worked really hard. But him and Benoit had great matches. Him and Eddie had great matches. But do you have any... this is a good question, right? Like, top Austin match of all time. What would you say it was?
Oh, that's tough, man. You know, I'll give you two answers.
There's so many you could think of.
Rock Austin 15. Okay. For WrestleMania 15. I really like that match.
Over 17 and 19?
Yeah. And there was a match on Monday Night Raw where he took, and he was a heel, and he took 10 Germans from Chris, post neck surgery, he took 10 Germans from Chris Benoit.
And then he said, I'll never do this again.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. actually, do you know about the Kurt Angle match?
No.
So it was a Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit cage match. And it was supposed to lead to a Chris Benoit and Austin program when Austin was a heel. So 2001, and Austin was doing commentary during that match, and he went back and he flipped his shit, and he said, "I won't work with you in a main event match like that."
Really?
Because it was too crazy. He's like, okay, but so I can list a whole bunch, right? Like him and Hunter had great matches. Him and Angle had great matches.
Sean, Taker.
Who? No, well, him and Sean never had a good match. They had no chemistry. I'm talking about Austin.
I know. I liked WrestleMania 14.
You like that match?
I like that match.
Watch that match a lot. Watch it now.
I watch it like all the time. Did you? Yeah. I wake up in the morning and I watch that match.
You know what? I loved it too until I watched it again and I was like, yikes. You know, Austin is going 1,000 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And HBK is like.
It's usually the opposite.
It's always, yeah, it's usually the opposite.
Why are we talking about Steve Austin?
Oh, so my point is, okay, so you could list a whole bunch of them, right? Him and The Rock, 17, him and The Rock. There's just so many of these matches. It's memorable. How many of those do you have for Chris Jericho?
I think there's a lot.
Let's list a couple.
HBK.
Him and HBK, Angle, for sure. Him
Kevin
and
Owens.
Okay, him and Kevin Owens.
I think him and Ambrose, great program.
But how memorable was it in the grand scheme of his career?
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I think his WCW stuff was more memorable with the stuff he was doing with the Cruiserweights.
His feud with China,
I got to tell you, man.
Very underrated.
Beyond underrated. Mm. Beyond. Because he made China look like $1 million.
Absolutely.
And it was such a bizarre mismatch where China really couldn't work like, you know, at that rate. Obviously, she never worked at that rate. But think about this guy, right? He leaves WCW. He's given, you know, he comes out with The Rock automatically. Everybody starts crapping on him in the back because, you know, that's how it works. He's unsafe. He doesn't know how to work. He's almost dead in the waters. And then they're like, hey, by the way, go work with China. That's your program.
Right. And he made the most out of it.
Good for him.
His program with Punk was great. The alcoholic stuff.
Yeah, I thought that was really good. I don't remember the match. It was a street fight, right?
I don't remember.
I remember it was a street fight because I remember seeing they did the bare, you know, the taped up knuckles and the jeans thing, which I hate.
Yeah. You mentioned that every week too.
Him and Triple H.
Yeah.
They shit the bed on that WrestleMania match.
Went on after
The Rock and Hogan.
What's your point with the Jericho
so
stuff?
So my point was
forgot.
So when you look at the grand scheme of his career,
okay,
right? For me, the more memorable matches are the ones not in his prime of his best in-ring ability.
Okay.
The most memorable ones are either prior, when you're like, oh my God, what is this guy doing? He's good. Or after, and you're like, he's so good still.
Yeah.
You know, and that says a lot. It says a lot about the, you know, when you're first starting off in your career, you don't have the eyeballs on you, so you're not as nervous. And then at the end of the career, you just don't give a shit because you're established.
And you already know what to do.
Yeah. Exactly. there aren't too many people that you could look from beginning to end of their career that has a 30-year in-ring ability that you look and you're like, he's better now than he was, you know, at the peak of his in-ring ability.
Well, that's the thing. I think with Jericho specifically is like, he's a dude that's not trying to hang on.
I don't know. That hairstyle.
Well, I meant like he can still go.
Yeah. Yeah.
He has the psychology down pat. He has the promo down pat. He is not a guy who's like when they would like just bring out the legends.
He's never that guy.
And you're like, oh, okay. And then it's like, hey, brother, I'll be appearing at like Mike's Auto Hardware Shop in like a death match this Saturday. You know, yeah. Like he's not that guy where he has to hang on for dear life. You know, he's not coasting on nostalgia.
Here's a question for you. Okay. Sure. He's 49 years old. He's going to be 60 in November, November 9th.
Is he going to be 60?
50.
Okay.
Chris Jericho's going to be 75 years old. Mm-hmm. Who's another guy, 49 years old, from that era, that could go at that rate? High profile matches, main event matches. Who's a guy?
Minoru Suzuki.
Well, oh my God. Did you see that Minoru Suzuki?
Yeah, dude. Like him and Ishii killed each other. Minoru Suzuki. He's American. He's
an
anomaly.
Let's go American.
Like
main from that era, that Attitude era, WCW era.
Dustin
Rhodes. No, but main event.
Main event. Okay.
Yeah, main event.
I think if you give Triple H time, absolutely.
Hunter for sure.
I don't know, man.
But Hunter wouldn't be on TV doing this every single week.
No.
Doing tag matches, doing this. No.
I don't know.
It's interesting, right? There's really nobody. I mean, if you're talking top-level guy like that, this kind of goes into something else that I want to discuss. Oh, by the way, Q&A segment, guys. Submit your questions in the chat room. Let's do this. Let's do questions
you got your
and answers.
At 1 o'clock, right?
I have a meeting at 1:30.
Okay.
Yeah. I just want to confirm that. But, you know, I was never like this tremendous Chris Jericho fan. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, listen, I love Chris Jericho. He's great. His matches were great. But he was never like that top guy on my list.
Okay.
This guy is now one of the top guys on my list.
Who else is on that list?
All time, Hunter. I think Triple H unfairly got a lot of negative criticism.
I agree with that.
I think his 2004-2005 run has resonated in people's minds so deeply where they have kind of manifested this thing about how he never put guys over and he's terrible and he's an asshole and he's this and he's
that.
This guy worked so hard in every match when he was a main event guy.
Absolutely. Great. He also had some of the greatest feuds in the business. He got his shit in. Flair, Batista, Orton, Jericho, Rock,
Austin,
Kane, Austin,
Undertaker,
Mick Foley. Did he feud Kurt Angle at some point?
Yep,
he did.
Him and Angle.
Kurt Angle. I had Benoit, definitely.
Him and Benoit. Him and Sean.
Mm-hmm.
Just unbelievable list of guys.
Yeah.
By the way, I just watched.
Did he do the Hogan thing or no?
Him and Hogan had a match.
Okay.
Where Hogan beat him for the title.
And then they did the pose down, right?
And then they did a pose down together. Because, of course, Hogan must pose. I just watched Foley and in the Hell in a Cell, Cactus and Triple H again. I have to tell you, that was the better Hell in a Cell match.
Than?
Out of all, like, that era of Hell in a Cell?
Yes.
Because remembers Foley falling off the cage. I don't think that was a good match at all. If you compare, like, like the Hell in a Cell matches, right? All the Hell in a Cells in that early era.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that the number one would be that him and Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
That's my number one. Number two is Shawn and Taker.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because that match was so freaking good.
It's gotta be Kane.
That's gotta be Kane. Who's that coming down with Paul? It's gotta be Kane. All right, let's do Q&As.
From Anthony JCP, who is your final prediction as leader of Retribution?
Rich, you go.
That's a tough call. I think it's got to be somebody who kind of fits that mold.
I got it.
And somebody that they're not really using. I don't think they'd put that on Ali's shoulders.
Yeah.
But I really want to say Bobby Roode. I don't think it's going to be Bobby Roode.
Why Bobby?
I missed the guy.
Something's happening.
Are you okay? I miss him.
You miss him?
I miss Bobby Roode. The forgotten one, Bobby Roode. But like, who else is available? I feel like there's somebody just out of
reach. I know who it is.
Wade Barrett. Wade Barrett, maybe?
You want me to ruin it for you?
Yeah.
I'm going to ruin Booker T.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
I want Booker T to be the leader of Retribution.
Jeff Hardy? Jeff Daddy?
Jeff Daddy?
You know, that's a good question. What about you? Who do you think?
It has to be a mouthpiece, whoever it is. It has to be a talker.
Okay.
Samoa Joe?
Wade Barrett.
Wade Barrett. Joe. Yeah, maybe.
Okay. Bachelor 3000, funniest wrestling moment of the year.
This year?
Yeah. No, next year.
Funniest wrestling moment of the year. I don't know.
Mimosa Mayhem match?
The Mimosa Mayhem match was great. I was thinking more WWE, in line with WWE. Mm. I don't know. They really didn't have a lot going on. Mimosa Mayhem was fun. It was funny. Some of the AEW stuff, you know, yeah. The skits that they've done is funny.
Anthony, how do you guys hate when a babyface is in the ring and the commentators always say that they're having fun? I do hate it.
Oh, when they're having a match and it's like a good match.
He looks like he's having a great time.
Well, they did it with Keith Lee and Drew, right? Yeah. They're like, these guys are friends, but they're having a hell of a time in that ring together. They're beating each other up, guys. Yeah, nobody's having a good time fighting.
Jagor 492, what did you think of the ending of Dynamite? It looked like Kingston and Mox will be continuing for a little bit. Good. I want that to happen.
Dude, Kingston deserves it, man. This guy's worked so freaking hard in the business, and it's great that he's getting some sort of notoriety now. I think the funny thing here is that WWE was trying to get him.
Yeah. At some point.
What would they have done with him?
Training.
Trainer, right?
100%.
100%.
Go ahead.
No way he would have been on TV.
They would have Chris Hero'd him.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's another guy. You know what?
Yeah.
That guy deserves better. Chris Hero.
Imagine if he was the leader of Retribution.
You know what? That's by the way, makes a lot of sense, right?
Oh, 100%.
He was supposed to be in the Shield. He didn't ever got in the Shield. So imagine. Here's a question for you.
Sure.
If the Shield debuted the way CM Punk had pitched it,
okay,
right? It was Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, and Chris Hero.
Mm-hmm.
What would have happened?
I honestly do think eventually Roman Reigns would have been part of the group.
He would have shown up in that?
And Chris Hero would have gotten kicked out. They would have done like almost like an Evolution thing where their whole trajectory would be Chris Hero's character's not pulling its weight and they replace him with the newly debuted Roman Reigns. Roman would have debuted as a mega babyface.
Okay, underwear guy, right?
Absolutely.
Underwear, body guy. He would have been like an agile,
yeah,
tall guy.
Mm-hmm.
Curious. Very interesting. Very interesting.
Same thing. You agree?
No, I think it would have done well. And I think Chris Hero would have been a really strong heel, but it would not have had any level of success without Roman.
Absolutely.
It's not even compared. And this is no shot at Chris Hero. It's just there's no comparing looking at Roman Reigns and looking at Chris Hero and who Vince is going to pick. No, it's a stupid comparison. But I would have liked to see, you know, what they could have done with him.
I don't know if you can answer this question from Corey. What is bigger right now for AEW, a TV rating for the anniversary show or the pay-per-view buy rate for full gear?
What is bigger for AEW, a TV, as far as like perception goes, like internally, what they would look for? I don't know. You know, the pay-per-view buy rates are in the 100,000s.
They're doing well.
So they're doing, and by the way, consistently 110,000. So if you do the math, at $60 a piece, at 110,000 buys, they're making the pay-per-view makes money, and then you cut that into half, you know, and then you pay the pay-per-view provider. But
it's like $800.
They're making like what, like $840?
Yeah, I think perception leads to a buy rate, right?
Perception reads the of course. Listen, you know, I ordered the last Impact pay-per-view, which I had not ordered an Impact pay-per-view in a long time because of the perception that it's going to be a good show. I ordered the Gallows and Anderson show.
Yeah.
Because
you knew that was going to be a piece of shit.
I knew, but it was the perfect piece of shit.
It was fun. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the Hurt Business? I like them.
They've grown on me every week.
Absolutely.
Every week they grow on me more and more. So were they baby faces, by the way?
I think they're
baby faces.
I think they're hovering between baby faces.
I like them, dude. I like that they're I love factions. They're a faction that makes a lot of sense.
question, what if it's Jordan Devlin and who debuts and he goes after Finn, but there's a rumor that it could also be Marty? Where is Marty?
Marty is in limbo.
Okay.
Marty's still under contract with Ring of Honor.
Right.
Marty's not the head writer. He's not the head. He doesn't have the book anymore. He's not in charge. I think it went back to Hunter. Yeah, Hunter has the book again in Ring of Honor. I don't know how hands-on Bubba is right now. I can find out. But we're seeing the change in direction. By the way, if you watch any Ring of Honor TV, you've seen that they're doing something very different now. They've gone to more of a traditional wrestling show.
Okay.
Rather than it being, you know, what it was kind of turning into. I don't know where Marty is or what he's doing, but, you know, the allegations against them did not help with what's going on. You know, I said this a while ago and some people questioned it, but everything changed for Marty at All Out.
Yeah.
All In, I'm sorry, at All In.
The first one.
The first one. There was a lot of rumblings I was hearing that there was a huge falling out, but I think the line in the sand was drawn when his match went so over with Okada.
Okay.
You know, it really hurt the Bucks match and the ending of that pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. And my personal belief from what I have been told is that there definitely is hurt feelings.
Really?
And things were not the same after that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You got to think about it, man.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't he go? Why wouldn't he go to where what they were all working on?
Well, I think there's definitely stuff that we don't know, obviously. I think there's a business decision, but you can say the same thing about Flip. Flip resigned with Ring of Honor, and Flip was a prominent part of... Flip and Marty were prominent parts of being the Elite.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Flip was still establishing himself.
Mm-hmm.
Marty worked on this. He was Bullet Club for how long? How long was he doing the tours with them in Japan and everything else?
Mm-hmm.
They were road partners way more than Flip Gordon. It just says a lot that he didn't go there. I think a lot of it had to do with him being more open to going to WWE than anything else. And then Ring of Honor came knocking and he wanted the lighter schedule and he was given a lot of flexibility, but there is a lot to this story that we don't know.
Right.
It's not as simple as he just made a business decision. Went right after All In. I mean, the people that told me what they told me were very upset.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Very upset.
Let's see. Did you enjoy Joey and Sonny and the Kip and Miro match? I did. That guy looks jacked.
Dude, great, great. His traps, man.
Machka.
Yeah, I liked it. A lot of people crapped on it. They didn't like it, and they were crapping on it online. They said it wasn't a good match. Listen, man, I enjoyed it. What do you want it to be? It was an opening match.
I was trying to phrase a joke properly on Twitter yesterday, and I just gave up.
I hate when that happens.
And it was basically about how Miro showed up to just dump indie guys on their heads.
Yeah, I want that. Dude, he killed, by the way, Joey Janela. Murdered Joey Janela.
And Kip, too, by accident. I think he dumped Kip right on his face.
Yeah. What's going on with Joey Janela? I want him to get jacked.
I want everybody to get jacked.
You know what I would love? Hmm. Him and Jericho doing a thing together where he starts, like, he's like a mini Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he does the hair thing and just, like, follows them around, becomes, like, one of Jericho's goons. I think that would be great for him.
I think that would be great for him, too. I think, do you still believe in the quote-unquote TV body?
Yeah. I think we need TV bodies. Everybody needs to have TV bodies.
Okay. Who's the exception to that rule?
Oh, there's a lot. Like, the big fat guys.
Kevin Owens.
Okay, yeah. Kevin Owens.
Right.
Bronson Reed.
Yeah.
Right? There's a bunch of them. Otis, right? Like, but again, that's a TV body. It's a cartoonish body.
Okay.
That's all you need. Either be a big fat guy or be a really jacked up dude.
Well, because you were just saying, like, you wish Joey Janela got jacked.
I want him to look ridiculously jacked.
Like, real.
Like
big.
Like,
wide.
Uncomfortable to look at.
Like Kenny Omega jacked.
No, bigger. Bigger.
Like, really?
Bigger. Like
Kenny Okada jacked was, that dude was friggin'
Brian
jacked.
Brian Cage jacked.
Oh,
that, big,
that would take like 3 years, right?
Yeah.
Did you hear that WWE offered Thunder Rosa a referee job and not arrest. I wouldn't be surprised.
I did not hear that.
I feel like WWE has that habit of like, they'll take your indie darling and then they'll give them like a backstage role. Adam Pearce.
Yeah. Interesting guy, right?
You know, Adam Pearce.
Cassius, great worker.
Chris Hero.
Yeah.
I think if Eddie Kingston signed, then definitely like he would have been in that trainer role.
Oh, and this is the last pay-per-view before the draft.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Where do they put everybody? I think Roman needs to be on Raw.
Roman goes back on Raw for sure, because then you have The Rock return and all that nonsense.
Yeah.
I think there was an interview with Roman. I'm not sure what the outlet was, but the interviewer asked him about a Samoan faction, right? And his response was made sense. Like him, the Usos, Samoa Joe, whatever.
Yeah.
But they would have to be the most dominant faction. And then, but there's nobody for them. There's nobody to knock them down.
Yeah, who would they feud with?
Yeah.
You know what I would like to see, by the way, with the whole Samoan thing that we've come up with, that Samoan storyline, for people who don't know, Rich and I have worked on this without even having a conversation on what they need to do with Roman Reigns. Telepathically, we've had this conversation where the story would be that Roman beats all the relatives.
Mm-hmm.
I would bring all the other ones. Like, I would bring Jacob Fatu in. Like, all the ones that are, like, not in WWE, bring them in and have them just demolish the whole family until Rock comes and saves everybody.
I gotta come back and save my family.
Yeah, is that what he says?
Yeah. Do you think Roman even beats up Nia Jax?
I think Roman beats up Nia.
Tamina.
The Usos. Afa, Sika, you know, all of them.
Samoa.
All the Samoans.
Yeah.
Doesn't it have to be related?
Well, I think the if he moves to Raw, I think a feud with Samoa Joe would be great leading up to a Rumble match. And then The Rock showing up.
They had that really good match, remember?
Yeah, they work so well together.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, you know, when you got guys that you know you want to work with, like, Roman Reigns knows what everybody says about him. You don't think that affects him? That people are like, oh, he just does a super Superman punch and that's it. You know, like, when you crap on him, like, he knows.
Right.
He gets it. So when he's given an opportunity to work with a guy like Samoa Joe, he's got to go at 100%. This guy wants to.
Yeah.
And the dude is a great worker. I find it fascinating how people can't separate, you know, their disdain for him. Like, now people are complaining that he's a heel now.
Mm-hmm.
You got it. You got the heel turn. They gave you what... And by the way, I'm not becoming a WWE apologist with this. I'm just telling you, when something is done well, it's done well. I'm a WWE denier.
Mm-hmm.
I think him with Heyman is very good.
Absolutely.
I think it's a good act. And it's an act that I could get behind booing.
Yes.
Right? Because Paul Heyman automatically makes you boo him. You were booing Roman anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They did what they should have done with John Cena. They finally did it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And they are still the same people will still complain that it wasn't done. Now they're complaining that it's Roman. They don't want to see Roman.
Right.
But why? You guys got what it was.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like him. That's fine. You're supposed to not like him.
Right.
You got worked into not liking him now, and now you don't like him because he's a heel.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you want?
Nothing. I don't want anything. I don't want anything from
what
wrestling.
What do you want?
What do I want? I don't want anything. I have no expectations when
you
it comes
just
to
watch
pro wrestling.
It's fun wrestling. I'm going to tell you, I've never met somebody that watches wrestling and enjoys it as much as you do.
Thank you. I'll take that compliment.
Like,
I appreciate that.
You generally enjoy what you enjoy. You generally like what you like.
Yeah.
And if it's not for you, you say, not for me.
I'm a good fan.
And that's the way to watch TV. And that is the way to watch wrestling. Guys, a couple more questions here, and then we got to go.
WWE claims that Mandy Rose... WWE claims Mandy Rose trade is blockbuster. Could Tessa be the other piece?
I have no idea.
So, Tessa on SmackDown, Mandy on Raw?
If you were to ask me, I would say Tessa's definitely going to WWE.
Yeah.
I don't know when. I don't know what the plan is. It has a lot to do with Charlotte.
Okay.
And what Charlotte's return plan is going to be.
She's coming back soon.
I would love... Listen, man, that's a nice storyline that's handed to them. Very easy storyline that's handed. By the way, do you want to... Just before we go into this, somebody asked on Twitter what we think of all the recent tag team breakups.
Mm.
I think it is bizarre that they broke everybody up.
Give me examples.
Murphy and
Seth,
they did that whole thing, right? Bailey and Sasha, Peyton and the other one.
The other one.
Why is my brain stopping?
Billy Kay.
Billy Kay. So we're three right now, right? There was Nikki Cross and Alexa.
Okay.
That's another one. Four. There was another one. There was another breakup.
Kenny and Hickman.
No, WWE side. There was another tag team breakup.
Are they teasing?
It was like five or six tag team breakups.
Are they teasing Otis and Tucker getting broken up? Because Otis is getting sued by John Morrison.
I know. How ridiculous is that?
So do you count the Usos as a breakup?
No, because one is injured.
Okay.
But they went on this kick. They broke up every tag team. Mm. And they're like, oh, sorry. You're not broken up. Cedric and Ricochet. That was another breakup, right? Yeah. Another breakup. And they all did it within like 2 weeks of each other. Very strange. Like Vince was like, too many tag teams.
They never really liked tag teams, though.
Where do you think Ricochet should go?
NXT.
You think so?
Straight up.
How would he do in AEW?
I think he'd do very well in AEW. I could see him feuding with the Dark Order. I could see him feuding with Penta and Phoenix.
AEW, on the other hand, has too much of a problem where they have so much good top talent that they have no place for them. They don't know what to do with them.
Right.
Like, Penta should be in a long-term program, singles program. He's not.
100%.
Brian Cage, what's his long-term singles program? He's not really in one.
FCW champion, baby.
FTW champion or FCW? Florida Championship Wrestling? Yep. they were teasing Cesaro and Nakamura.
So weird.
That was another one they were teasing. Lucha House Party, they were about to break up.
Yeah.
It's weird. They get on these weird kicks and just break things up.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Bizarre. Jonathan, what was the last adult film you watched? That's what he said.
Is he direct? That was a text message.
That was directly in the chat room.
Don't answer your texts.
I'm not answering my text.
No, I'm saying like if people are sending you questions over text, yeah. I think those are the inappropriate ones.
Oh, those are all the inappropriate ones. I had some other news here. I forgot what it was. One more question, guys, and then we're going to wrap it up here.
Yeah, baby. Thunder Rosa versus Sheeta 2 is so much hotter right now than Sheeta versus Nyla Rose 2. I agree with that.
Ben Carter from AEW has tested positive for COVID.
Okay. So did Lance Archer.
So did Lance Archer. Yeah, his last match was against Scorpio Sky.
Speedy recovery to all those involved.
Yeah, that'll be fine. 2 weeks.
What the tech tonight?
No, what the tech today. I have a meeting I have to go to. Mm-hmm. Any news on the ROH sale? Nothing right now. Things slowed down with that conversation once they figured out what they're doing with TV.
Yeah.
Listen, it's going to happen. I just don't know when and to who at this point. I know the WWE is really keen on getting those archives.
Oh, yeah.
There was that attempt for the TNA archives, and the number that they had, I believe this was a number years ago. Someone needs to confirm this. I remember I was told it was $300 per hour of TV.
Wow.
That was their going rate for like AWA content or Mid-South content. Now, with Ring of Honor, I'm sure it's way more valuable to them because the talent is still there. So who would they get? They would get all the Cesaro stuff. Joe.
Daniel Bryan.
Finn.
Well, Finn was in a couple of things.
Seth Rollins.
CM Punk probably if they wanted to exploit that. Tyler Black.
Yeah.
There's got to be a
Kevin
couple
Steen.
More. Yeah. Oh, Generico. Yeah. Forget it.
Just a great big archive of content that they could be using on the network. I think it'll happen. When you start hemorrhaging money like this, there's only so much that your parent company is going to start paying for. Yeah. I think for Ring of Honor's case, with no attendance and barely any TV, where are they making money? How are they making money?
Right. E-pay-per-views, or they have to do it on the back end.
It's hard. It's very difficult. You know, at least for AEW, they have a TV deal. They're making $45, $60 million a year off their TV. Same with WWE. They're making almost $1 billion a year off their TV rights. Mm-hmm. Impact is in the same boat actually as Ring of Honor. Parent company owns the channel.
Okay.
So are you gonna start losing money or are you gonna start making money? I think a lot of people right now, the economy, the way 2021 is gonna look, do you wanna lose money?
Right.
Can they afford to lose money? In regards to Full Gear versus Anniversary question. Oh, we forgot this. Asking also what you put on each show, Cody versus Brody for TNT on the pay-per-view. I don't know how important it is to put those title matches only on a pay-per-view. I think for AEW, they should be defending the titles on TV, right? What do you think?
I agree, 100%.
And a couple title changes on TV is not a bad thing.
No. Not at all. I think they need that.
Definitely need that. All right, Rich. You good?
I'm good, baby.
All right. Apparently, also, the outbreak that for this COVID virus that people are having, it started at a party that a lot of the wrestlers were at.
Oh, yeah.
In Florida.
Just kissing.
You think they're just kissing each other? Like hand kissing? Or
no,
like
no. Tongue.
Peck.
Pecks. Nobody can get. You have to put your keys in a bowl. Yeah. And you got to kiss everybody on the mouth.
Yeah.
Instead of a handshake saying, thank you, sir, it's a kiss on the lips.
Just a nice kiss.
Yeah.
All right, guys. That's it for this week. Sorry I was all over the place today. I'm dealing with a major crisis. So.
Good show, though.
Don't worry about it. We'll be back this weekend.
All right. Later.
All right, guys. I'll see y'all later. Take care.